whole great mountain. Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof, with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it.
Shouts of Grace Center brings you pure and undiluted word of God from the impeccable throne of grace. Be blessed as you listen.
Hallelujah. Amen. It's beautiful this morning, isn't it? That's why I know God is doing something beautiful in your life. This thing is sounding somehow. Maybe one of the speakers is bad here or something. I don't know. Just disconnect one or two if it's not working fine. Hallelujah. You know, while Doxa was, you know, ministering, I remember when we gave birth to him. In fact, we were right to the point when his mom was pregnant. God gave me a word, and I told his mom, I said, oh, God said this baby you have in your womb is going to be a David. He will sing. And so we noted it down. And gave birth to him, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years old, no song, not one. 7 years old, 8 years old. I think I misprophesied. Then all of a sudden, I think after he turned 10, 11, then he just began to sing. Which goes a long way to say that whatever God has told you will eventually come to pass. It may look like it won't come to pass, but it will eventually come to pass. Praise the Lord. He said, wait for it. Even though it tarry, it will not tarry. You know, when I first saw that scripture, I say, what is God trying to say? Even though it tarry, it will not tarry. It would tarry, too, but my tarry could tarry, too, but it tarry could not tarry. Even though it tarry, it will not tarry. What is God saying? See, what God is saying is, even though it looks like it is not happening and it's taking a while, it will still happen. Because God's word never fails. Hallelujah! The word never fails. That is why whatever you want to do in this life, get a word first. If you have a word, believe you me, you will do anything you want to do. If you don't have a word and you go ahead, I fear for you, anything can happen. By virtue of the word luck, it may happen. But if you want to be so sure whether it will happen or not, get a word for it. Amen. The word of God is powerful of itself, by itself, in itself, to bring itself to pass. When God speaks a word, and then somebody asks you, what is the evidence that will come to pass? There's no evidence other than the word that he has given you. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, if you buy a car right now, and they say, where's the evidence of the car? You show them the key, right? If God gives you a word and somebody asks you what's the evidence, it's that same word you give back. It's not usually it's going to happen. The Bible says. So somebody was arguing online, so he said, I don't even understand that all these Christian people there, I think they are just smart. Anytime they want to prove anything from the scripture, they use another scripture. Because that is God. In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. So the way to prove God is God himself. How else will God prove himself? Hello, somebody. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We know that God is in heaven, right? Abi? But in the beginning, he created the heavens. So where was he? Hello, somebody. Everyone say God is in heaven. But in the beginning was when he created the heavens and the earth. So where was God before he created? You know, some of those answers, you won't get it until you get to heaven itself. And say, okay, God, now show me this thing. Hallelujah. Because God is unfathomable. You can't get to the bottom of God. You can't get to the depth. You can't mine the depths of God successfully and get there. Science have tried. Technology, they are trying, but they won't be able to get there. Because God is God. Amen. Alright, this morning we are looking at elements of revival. The quest for revival. And somebody might ask, why are we looking at revival? Is it a minister's conference? You know, that topic looks like something you want to preach to pastors or leaders or people in leadership position. Praise God. But the reality is that we all need to hear a message on revival, because even in our personal lives, we need revival, isn't it? There are some of you, your bank accounts need revival. Last time you check your account, 200 naira 35 kobo. It needs revival. It needs the help of God. Are you with me? Have they called you before? I said, sorry, we are calling from GTB or from First Bank. We just want to encourage you to reactivate your account. And you are like, what do you mean? The account is active. It's my personal account. He said, yes, we know, but there's been no movement for a while. The account needs revival. You need to wake that account up with like 2 or 3 billion. Just put it there. If you can't see it, it will never happen. You say, it will happen. So most of the things of God, the blessings of God, have to be seen first. It has to be conceived, like you impregnate a lady, and then the lady conceives, and then the tummy shoots out, and then the gestation period is complete, and then the baby comes out. That's the way it works. The word of God is the seed. And it's so much of a powerful seed, because somebody asks, how did Mary get pregnant? Who slept with Mary? Nobody slept with Mary. Angel Gabriel came. Give a word, you will conceive. His name will be Jesus. And then she got pregnant. Where did seed come from? The word is the seed. The message that came from God became spermatozoa. Hello, somebody. The word. So just like that, when you receive the word of God in your heart, there's a conception and there's a pregnancy. And a time will come, you will give birth to that blessing and that miracle. May you give birth to your blessing in the name of Jesus. Some of you, the pregnancy is overdue. I pray the Holy Spirit will act like a midwife for you today. And you will birth your destiny in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So we are talking about revival. Charles Spurgeon, I'm sure we've all heard that name before. He said the word revive wears its meaning upon its forehead. It's from the Latin and may be interpreted thus: to live again, to receive again a life which has almost expired, to rekindle into a flame the vital spark which was nearly extinguished. In other words, it's almost gone. It's as if nothing is going to happen again. It's as if it's dead and gone and there's no hope. But the moment that word revival comes in, the equation will change. Is somebody with me? May God bring a revival into your life, into your finances, into your relationship, into your marriage, and into your home in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. That word revival also means, it presents a picture of something you drag out of a pond. And you need to understand that from the definition we just read, it is only the living that can be revived. It's only the living. That is, that thing is alive. Revival can only be applied to a living soul. If something is already dead, you are resurrecting it. But if something is alive but inactive, inoperable, it's just there, not producing any result, then revival becomes very necessary. Ideally, the church should not need revival because we are supposed to be up and doing. But because our churches are filled with compromises, there is need for revival. What will revival do? Let's take a look at a few things. What will revival do? Number one, revival will always bring a rejoicing. Come on, say with me, revival will always bring a rejoicing. Can you bring me my other specs, please? Revival will always bring a rejoicing. In Psalm 85 and verse 6, Amplified Version, the Bible says, "Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you?" In other words, when there's revival, there'll be a rejoicing. Will you not it's just like the example I gave, the account is dormant, and all of a sudden somebody far away just sends you some millions. Are you with me? What is happening is that your account is revived. What's the next thing you're going to do? You're going to rejoice, isn't it? Or who is here right now that 10 million will enter your account and then you look at this year, it's just one of those things? Won't you run to church and come and give testimony? And after giving testimony, I will say, where's your tithe? Hello, somebody. That's revival brings rejoicing. In the contemporary English version, it says, "Won't you give us fresh life and let your people be glad because of you?" Look at the way Message Translation puts it. Why not help us make a fresh start? A resurrection life that your people will laugh and sing. I pray in the name of Jesus, you will laugh and you will sing in the name of Jesus. The second thing that the revival will do is that in the midst of trouble, bondage or affliction, what we always need is a revival. We see that in Ezra chapter 9 verse 9. He said, "For we were bondmen, yet our God has not forsaken us in our bondage, but has extended mercy unto us in the sight of the kings of Persia, to give us a reviving, to set up the house of our God, and to repair the desolations thereof, and to give us a wall in Judah and in Jerusalem." And we see from that same verse that revival can set free, number one. Revival can repair, number three. Revival can cause a national rebirth. For example, the situation in our country, Nigeria, right now, whether you like it or yes, what we need is a revival. A revival of the things of God. A revival of the principles of God. A revival of the ways of God. I want to see you. I want to know your ways. I want to touch your grace so that we can live your days. What we need is a revival. Quickly, let's move over to consider the elements of a revival. What makes up a revival? What are those things? And I want you to know that even as we apply these elements, as we look at them, those are the things you also need in your personal life. Those are the processes you need to go through if you are looking at birthing your destiny all over again, reviving an aspect of your life, trying to raise up the call of God upon your life, which seems to be inactive and is just lying fallow, and you are not just there. You look at your spiritual life, you are not just fulfilled because you know you are far away from where you are supposed to be. Now the first thing, the first element we see here is that there has to be a need. First of all, there has to be a need for revival. In Joel chapter 1, verses beginning from verse 10, it says, "The field is wasted, the land mourneth, for the corn is wasted and the new wine is dried up. The oil languisheth. Be ye ashamed, O ye husbandmen. Howl, O ye vine dressers, for the wheat and for the barley, because the harvest of the field is perished." And what we see described in verses 10 and 11 is that nothing is working. The economy is down. Agriculture has failed. The imports and the export business has collapsed. The oil business has gone down. Per barrel oil, the price has gone down. Everything is just crashed and nothing is working. And then in verse 13, he said, "Gird yourselves and lament, you priests. How? You ministers of the altar. Come, lie all night in sackcloth, you ministers of my God, for the meat offering and the drink offering is withholding from the house of your God." In verse 14, the next thing he said, "Sanctify you of fast. call a solemn assembly, gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God, and cry unto the Lord. And then in verse 14, a message translation, it says, declare a holy fast, call a special meeting, get the leaders together, round up everyone in the country, get them into God's sanctuary for serious prayer to God. Why would this happen? Why would the scripture says, gather everybody, let the priests come together, let the people come together, let there be a solemn assembly? Because when they come together in the place of fasting and prayer, then what happens is that the heavens will open and there will be a revival. The answer to the problem this nation is facing at this particular point in time, it's not some injection of dollars into the economy. It's not some economic. What is needed is a revival. And the same way, when you look at your personal life and everything seems not to be going well, spiritual life is not there. In terms of your finances, you are not there. In terms of your relationship, everything is not working. In terms of your academics, you don't have fulfillment. Everything is just haphazard. What you need at that point is a revival. You don't need somebody to help you with 5,000 naira. You don't need somebody to help you with 100,000 naira. That is not what you need. What you need is a revival, something that will happen that will turn your life around entirely. What the Bible describes in Psalm 126, when it says, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we will let them that dream. That will be your experience in the name of Jesus. Our generation needs a revival beyond the churches and the services. Beyond our religious gathering, we need a revival. We need something radical. We need something out of the ordinary. We need something that will radically implode upon the psyche of the people and show us back the way to God. We need something that will happen and point to us that the answer we need in this generation is not in any other place but in the name of the Lord. We need something radical in our lives. And there will never be any revival until we admit and we are desperate for it. If there's a group of people who believe they don't need nothing, then no revival will ever take place. There has to be an action on the part of the people. Gather the people together. Let there be a solemn assembly. Let them come into a fast. Let them come, the priests, the people, everybody. I don't want to spare anybody, both the pastors and the people, the clergy and the laity. Let everybody come together in the place of fasting and prayer so that there can be a revival. The same way in your personal life, if there will ever be a revival, all of you have to come together. Every part of you, your emotions, your physical life, your relationship, your academics, everything has to be brought into the presence of God. And you have to cry to God from the depths of your heart and say, Lord, I don't know how to go about these things. I don't know what to do again. I need a revival. As a young man in the final year of school in the university, I didn't know what my life is going to become. I didn't know what I was going to do. I was asking God for purpose. Why am I here? What's the next thing I'm going to do? And you see, those things, they don't hit you until you get a final year. Some of us until when we finish serving. But one way or the other, that time will come when you have to take an introspective look at your life and ask the question, why am I here? What career should I focus on? What thing should I lay my hands upon to do? And the only way you can get an answer is when you are desperate for an answer. All of you have to come together. You have to assemble yourself in the presence of God and lift up your voice and cry to God and say, Lord, I need a revival in my personal life. We need a revival. Over 100 years ago, there was an Azusa revival in all over the world. It was awesome. It was a time in which the speaking in tongues and some other gifts of the Spirit were restored back to the body of Christ. Mighty revival that took place. And some 50, 60, 70 years ago, some things we cannot never believe with our ears. Some of the things that will make our ears to tingle, some of them are legalized today. Homosexuality has been legalized. Lesbianism has been glorified. Our children have been sexualized. Pastors are compromising. Men are conducting wedding with alligators and horses. People have turned the Bible upside down. Evil seems to be reigning. The fear of God is not anywhere again. Everybody is stealing. Government people are asking for bribe. Before you do anything in this world, you have to bribe your way out of it. Everything is in terrible shape. Like Isaiah described, he said, from the head to the toe, there is no place that is sane. Everything is full of wounds. Nobody to treat it. Everything is in a terrible shape. And the only answer is in the place of revival. And when you look at your life and everything doesn't seem to be working, nothing seems to be working, then you need a radical turnaround. What you need is not somebody to be handing over to you some piece of coins that will last you 2 or 3 days and then you are back to square zero. What you need is a turnaround. May you receive a turnaround in the name of Jesus. The second element of revival is the possibility. You see, you have to be able to envision in your heart that it is possible. A revival is possible. God can break through into our midst. The divine can break through into the humanity. We can synergize with God. We can partner with God and be like gods, small g, on this planet earth. I've said ye are gods and not just mere men. That's what the Bible tells us in the book of Psalms. We have to see the possibility. If you can't see it, it will never happen. God told Abraham, lift up your head, lift up your eyes. As far as you can see, it's yours. He told them, he said, wherever the soles of your feet shall touch, there have I given unto you. You have to see. In Jeremiah 33 verse 3, call unto me and I will answer thee. I love this scripture. Call unto me and I will wait for a while. No. Call unto me and I will go and think about it. No. Call unto me and what? I will answer thee and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Zechariah chapter 10 verse 1. Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain, so the Lord shall make bright clouds. We all know that before rain comes, there has to be cloud. Hello somebody. But sometimes you want rain over your life, but there's no cloud. And if there's no cloud, there can't be rain. But he said, ask ye of the Lord rain. Forget about whether there's cloud or not. The Lord himself will make bright clouds. Hallelujah. The Lord himself will step into that place and make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to everyone grass in the field. The third element I want us to consider in the quest for revival is the source. Where does revival come from? If I want a revival in my individual life, I want my finances turned around, I want God to do something unique in my life. You see, a revival is when somebody walks in the church and really has nothing. Nothing is working for him. Everything is upside down. And then 1 or 2 years later, he's paying tithes in the millions. That's a revival. It is only the word of God that can do that kind of stuff. I don't know any other thing. Are you with me? The source in Acts chapter 1 verse 8. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Amplified version says, but you shall receive power, ability, efficiency, and might. That's what you receive when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. A lot of people think the baptism of the Holy Ghost is for speaking in tongues. How can I be saying jargons? I don't need it. How can I be saying what I don't understand? I'm not for that stuff. Well, if you say you are not for that stuff, then you are not for what the Bible is describing here. Ability, efficiency, might. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is not for speaking jargon, like most of us conclude. It is the power of God upon your life. Is somebody with me? Kenneth Copeland said one time, many years ago, he was driving. He was just driving. And then something told him to park. And he parked his car. And that something told him, buy that land. And he bought it. And years later, oil was discovered on that land. What is the something that was telling him? That's the Holy Spirit. A lot of us think it is something. Something told, no, that's the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is not an abstract spirit that is flying in the air like a dove. The Holy Spirit is a friend that wants to be involved in your individual life. Is somebody with me? Wants to be part of your life. Wants to tell you what to do and what not to do. Who to get married to and who to avoid. What business to do and what business to run away from. What partners to embrace in business and which partners to run away from. He will tell you of things to come. He will tell you about your life. Tell you about God's purpose for your life. The Bible says no man knoweth what is in the heart of a man except the spirit of that man which is in him. Meaning that nobody knows what is in your heart right now except your spirit that is in your inside. He said the same way, nobody knows what is in the heart of God except the spirit of God which is in him. He said, how be he, the Spirit of God, has revealed these things unto us. So the Spirit of God, who is the Holy Spirit of God, that is the Spirit that is inside of God, will probe the mind of God, mind the depths of God, find out what is in the mind of God for your life, and then let you know about it. And then you can follow his purpose. And when you follow his purpose, that is where wealth is. That is where prosperity is. And that is where fulfillment is. May you find purpose in the name of Jesus. I can hear your amen. May you find purpose in the name of Jesus. The fourth thing I want us to consider is the means. The means of revival. How do you go about it? Prayers, that's the means. Prayers, basically. Second Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14. If my people, come on, say if. See, the Bible used the word if because sometimes people won't. They won't. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Why is God bringing humility into this? You see, pride is when things are not working and you refuse to admit. Pride is when everything is collapsed in your life, nothing is working, and you refuse to run to God for help. But he said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, that is, will come to a point of realization that without God, I can't go far. I need the help of God. For the Lord God will help me, I will not be confounded. Now that I've set my face like a flint, I know I will not be ashamed. Hallelujah. Humility. You have to humble yourself. You have to come to that point where you're like, all right, I know I need the help of God in my life. I know I'm going to need God's help to break through, to succeed, to make it. I know it. Hallelujah. So it says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Let's take a look at it in Amplified Version. Or rather, let's look at Isaiah 45 verse 19, Amplified Version. He says, I have not spoken in secret. In other words, this thing is not a secret thing. I have not spoken in a corner of the land of darkness. I did not call the descendants of Jacob to a fruitless service, saying, seek me for nothing. But I promise them a just reward. I, the Lord, speak righteousness, the truth, straightforward correspondence between deeds and words, and I declare things that are right. In other words, God has not called you to come into his presence in a place of prayer for vain. He said, but when you respond to what he says, the call for prayer, there will always be a just reward. He said there's a correspondence between deeds and words. My words are not just empty words. There's a connection between the words and the deeds. What I say will always come to pass. That's why the Bible says in the book of Isaiah, he said, my word shall not return unto me void. It shall prosper that which is sent to do. What that means is that the word of God will never go back to God and say, God, it will never. God's word will always come to pass. Hallelujah. Amen to Jesus. Number five thing we look at is the channels of revival. The channels. How does it come? Through which place does revival spring out? Bringing that to your individual life. I need a revival in my bank account. I need a revival in my business. Oh, I used to be a supplier. I used to supply stalls to the government, but everything just went down. I need a revival there. What are the channels? What are you going to do to bring a revival to that practical aspect of your life? Let's take a look. John chapter 7 verse 38. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of where? I can't hear you. Shout it. Out of where? Shall flow rivers of living water. Out of where? Touch your belly, let me see. It's not stomach. Stomach is physical organ. Belly is a spiritual organ within. Hello, somebody. Belly. When you see mothers who are terribly hot and angry cursing their children, they are cursing from their belly. When you see a woman curse a child and put her hand there, it's only God that can remove that curse. Because that same woman, to four coin, are you with me? Carried that baby for 9 months. So when she's touching here, she's connecting with where you were before, your source. It's terrible. You shouldn't offend your parents. Not in the point of speaking wrong words. Even if it doesn't touch here. That's why you see, you know, all these people that grow up with abuses. You know it affects them. Eh? Say, Uriya Oda, Uriya Okwe. Those things are not good. Uriya Buriya Agbon. And you know that it's only water that's in coconut. So the boy goes to school and comes back with the last position, as in the last. Assuming there were 10 more people, he will still be the last. And you say, but you see, it's the parents that use his mouth to prophesy to the life of that boy. Is somebody with me? At the time, Jacob called all his children. He said, come, all of you, gather around my bed. Let me speak of that which will come to pass in your life. And he began one by one. Talk to Simeon and Levi. Talk to Joseph. And everything he said, every single thing he said came to pass. So you don't quarrel with your parents. Are you with me? He said, but my father is not born again. So what? When the Bible says, honor your father and mother, did he say, honor your born again father and mother? He said, honor your father and your mother. You have to honor them. Whether you think they are doing the right thing or the wrong thing. If you are here and you are hurt against your parents, let that hurt dissolve so that your life, your own life, can move forward. There are certain things you don't understand about your parents or about their actions that you will not understand until you become a parent. Is somebody with me? When I was a teenager, I didn't like my dad. Just like most teenagers, they go through that period, adolescent period. The adolescent period is that period you get to, you believe everybody in the world is wrong except you. That's the time you start calling your dad old man. Say that old man. Eh? That old man. That old woman. Oh, bon quiet. After they brought you up, Abby. After they successfully raised you, it's a terrible thing at that period. So I wasn't in full agreement with my dad. I thought It was just an old man that doesn't know what's going on. Until I became a parent myself. Then I understood. You know, like David said, until I went to the sanctuary, then I understood their end. Then I understood. So my dad and I were best of friends right now. Best of friends. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. In the amplified version of John 7:38, he says, he who believes in me, who cleaves to and trusts in and relies on me as the scripture has said, from his innermost being, it's almost saying like you have another being on the inside, isn't it? From the innermost being, like there's another human being on your inside, but it's actually talking about your spirit. From the innermost being shall flow continuously springs and rivers of living water. Hallelujah. From your innermost being. What is that river that will flow? He's talking about the gift of the Holy Spirit. That the source of revival is the belly. Out of your belly shall flow rivers. Everything you will ever need in your life, you know where they are? They are in your innermost being. If you're a child of God. So, you want to drive a car, you need a house. In all of what you are doing, you go into your innermost being and let the river bring forth that which you are trusting God for. Is somebody with me? How do you stir up this river? You pray in the Holy Ghost. Mita koshka, pardon me, this sulaba, imbrakatuzia. I'm not talking of 10 minutes, so. I'm not talking of the one you do while you are brushing your teeth in the bedroom. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. No, no. You have not even, you see, you will not put your first foot inside the river, not to talk of getting in. You need to dive into that river. And the way you do is to continuous, prolonged, and lengthy time of praying in the Holy Ghost. Anytime you find yourself in a fix, and it looks as if there's no way out, go and stir up the river. You remember that scripture? At the pool of Siloam, there are many invalids. A lot of them. No, sorry, pool of Bethesda now. A lot of them are there. Invalids. And the Bible says at a certain season, an angel will come down and stir the river. And he said, after stirring the river, whosoever getteth in first will get healed. The first person, after his stirring, will always get healed. So the others will not get healed. Today we don't need to wait for an angel. You are the angel that will stir it up yourself. How do you stir up the river? 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. That's how you do it. That's how you bring revival into your bank account. Is somebody with me this morning? You see, it's either you pay the price or you maintain status quo. It's either you pay the price or you stay where you are and keep complaining. Every man and every woman you see, they pay the price. Unbelievers, you think they are just getting money? They are paying the price negative way. You see ritualist dens being discovered in Lagos. You think it's for fun? Those are the price some of those people are paying. Killed people to make money. Dens under the road, on the main road, though, on the express. Only God knows for how many years those dens have been there. People just disappear anyhow. That is why you can't live outside of the covenant of God. When you are in the covenant with God, such thing cannot happen to you. It's either you won't go through that place, it's either you won't pass through that place when it's happening. Something will shall save you. And we have been saved every day, even though you don't know. You just say in the newspaper, this person has disappeared, is wanted. We don't know. You can't afford to live your life
without God. You need to humble yourself, like the Bible says. If they will humble themselves, you need to remove your shoulder parts. They don't know what they say. I don't need God. Ah, the foolish man has said in his heart, there's no God. It's foolishness to say, well, I don't really need God. Maybe some other time. Let me pursue my life. You know, this born again thing is so slow. I'm a fast person. You see, Pastor, you can see me. I'm a very fast person. Okay. Some of the fastest cars, they end up in accidents, isn't it? You need God. Let me whisper to your neighbor, you need God. Tell your neighbor, you need God badly. Humble yourselves. And stop acting like you have it packaged and have it together. Most of the people you see on the street that looks good, with nice clothes and nice dress, some of them with nice cars, if you have an idea of the kind of problem they are dealing with, you'll never pray you want to be like them. You thank God you are okay as you are. Is somebody with me? John 7:38 of Message Translation. Rivers of living water will brim and spill out of the depths of anyone who believes in me this way. Just as the scripture says, it will brim and it will spill. It will brim and it will spill out of the depth. It's not something you find on the surface by praying our Lord's Prayer every morning. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Amen. No. Nothing is going to be revived that way. I'm not saying that scripture is not powerful. It's powerful in itself and by itself. But when we are talking about a revival, a radical change, something that will turn your life and destiny around, something that will change your story and rewrite your history, you need a revival. You don't need one miracle and then Father, and then after 2 weeks you are back there. You need something that is permanent. And that only comes when there's a revival. In the heat of a revival, one woman, Mary Woodward Etta, oh Lord God Jesus. Is it a Miss Sample MacPherson or Woodward Etta? I don't know which of them, but one of those women, their building where they were holding crusades, the government came and said their building is on the wrong space of land, that they're going to demolish it. This is a place, a crusade that is holding on a daily basis, and thousands of people were meeting. And the government of the day came and said they would demolish that building. You know what this woman did? She went into the place of prayer to go and bring out a solution from the depths, from the belly. The solution to everything you are going through is here. Are you with me? And when she prayed, what did God tell her? Very strange, abnormal, unbelievable. If God told you that thing, you will say, it's my mind talking. God told them, he said, gather all the women, not men. Gather all the women, go to that building and push the building off the government space. And so she gathered all the women and they pushed the building, literally, and the building moved away from where it was on the government land to the space where it's supposed to be. The government came back the next day, they were confused. Someone will have a foundation. How? Those kind of things can only happen in God. It looks impossible, right? It looks incredible. That's who God is. God is incredible. God is unbelievable. God that told Moses, stretch forth your rod. Enemies are coming from the back. Stretch forth the rod. Stretch forth the rod. And the sea parted. Up till now, science says it's a lie. They can't fathom it. They can't believe it. But if you look at your individual life, your own life personally, don't you see how many red seas that God has parted for you? At those times you thought everything is finished. 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago. See, there's no way out. and yet you are still here. Hello, somebody. Number six, the obstacles of revival. Obstacles. Every time there's a move of God, there's always obstacles, contradictions. Deuteronomy 28:15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I commanded this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Then he began to mention all those curses. What is that thing that will bring a curse? If you will not obey, disobedience will stop revival. Strife will stop revival dead in his tracks. Deuteronomy 28:23, part of the curse, he say, the heaven over your head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. Come on, say, God forbid. That person's life is finished. But heaven je brass, the earth je iron. Kiloku, it's finished. Rain cannot come down, crop cannot grow. He puts seed in the ground, no result. There's drought because rain is not coming down. Part of the curse, obstacles to revival, is disobedience. Message translation says the sky over your head will become like an iron roof, and the ground under your feet a slab of concrete. Think about it. That's what sin does. Sin. Compromise. Got into a relationship. He said, Shebi, we are going to marry. Let's live together. Let's have sex. Shebi, we are husband and wife. Shebi, we will soon marry. And then you did that. This is what you are bringing upon yourself. You need to quickly go back to God and ask for mercy. When the ground becomes a slab of concrete and the heaven becomes an iron roof, there's no blessing that can come down. Finally, let's look at the results of revival as we close this morning. Number one result of revival is salvation. Psalm 85 verse 7. Show us your mercy, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. That is, there will be salvation. The situation you are going through, you will witness the salvation of the Lord in that area. May you seek God's salvation in your situation. In the name of Jesus. The second result of revival is peace. Psalm 85 verse 8. I will hear what God the Lord will speak. For he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not again turn to folly. The peace of God is shalom of God. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Where everything is okay. You don't get involved in accidents. Unnecessary accidents. Unnecessary losses. Lose your purse today. Lose your ATM card tomorrow. The money that is not enough is still getting lost. You need a revival in your life. You need the peace of God. The peace of God means nothing missing, nothing broken. Not a broken bone. You won't fall from a bike. Your car won't get into an accident. You just won't be there. You are just exempted from evil because there's a revival and the power of the Holy Spirit over your life. Is somebody with me? Number three, salvation and glory. Psalm 85 verse 9. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. And then verse 10, number four, mercy and truth and righteousness. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Number five is increase. Increase is a byproduct of revival. Psalm 85 verse 12, yeah, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield an increase. Number six, protection and direction is a byproduct of revival. Righteousness shall go before him,
and shall set us in the way of his steps. I don't know if you are here this morning. You look at your life and you are like, I sure need a revival. I need a radical change. I can't continue like this. You see, when you need a revival, this is the feeling you will always have. You will always have this feeling that this is not all of me. I am beyond this. I'm more capable than what is going on. My life shouldn't be here. I should be doing 10 times more of what I'm doing right now. You see, there are several things that slows us down. Sin, disobedience, arrogance, ignorance, refusal to listen to God, refusal to honor God with your tithes, 10%. Say, I cannot pay tithe 10%. It's not enough. I will not give God. You slow yourself down. God said that 10% belongs to me. Honor me with it. Honor me with it. Somebody say, is it God that will spend the money? What day will we use the money for? You want to know? The money is used to pay salaries for staff, to take care of this place, and to do a lot of other things. That's what you use it for. It's not as if when you take your tithe, then you have to put it somewhere, you know, there, then in the night, God will now come and take it. No, God does not spend naira and dollars. He said that there may be meat in my house. The word meat means that the house can run. Everything about church is money. Everything. You won't have an idea until you start one. Everything is about money. Everything. You say, that church is fine. It's doing like this. If you have an excellent spirit, you better pray God for prosperity. And so you can be excellent without nothing. It's true. The place where you're supposed to use a screen, you put cardboard there, you draw a man talking excellence. There's excellence on every level. But when you have funds, your excellence will show better. It is not money that brings excellence. It is excellence that brings money. So there has to be an excellent spirit first. Have you seen some parties before? The person doing the party is a multi-millionaire and food won't go around. Have you been such parties? Kishelogo sonje unje wa but I won't come on je 10 plates 15 plates I won't come fi kula bi mefa jealous. There is enough, but there is no excellence and there is no organization. Meanwhile, somebody else who doesn't have as much money will do something like that and it will go around. So excellence is first of all the spirit. So what did they use money to do? It's used to pay salaries. We have full-time ministers. People who said, I'm called of God. I want to be part of this ministry. Are they not going to eat? Won't they have families? Hello, somebody. They are the ones that make everything set for you. You see that everything is cool and calm. Everything is... If you have an idea... No, I won't tell you. If you have an idea how many hours were spent rearranging this place, just to rearrange you. Go and ask people that were around. There was a vigil and then there was a whole day's job from 8 o'clock till 9 p.m. to sort this place out. Is somebody with me? So when you take out of your tithes, your 10% to honor God, you are identifying with that house. I always say, if you are not a tither, then you are not part of that house. In your parents' house, you do something in the house, don't you? It's either you are washing plates or you are cleaning the car. You shall have something to do. If you are in the house where you do nothing, find something to do. You wake up, you don't do anything because they have many ourselves and you see the ourselves are being trained while you are not being trained because we have 25 ourselves, 11 cooks, 10 gate men. So when you wake up, you want to win me. You say, Yusuf,
carry my leg, I want to win me. You are not being trained. You better train yourself. Tell Yusuf, I'm washing car this morning, get out. You wash it. Otherwise, you grow up to not be able to do anything, and you have a false impression about life. And the problem about that is that when you start having your own children, you want to train them the same way because that's all you know. Is somebody with me? So back to our topic of revival. Look at your life and you see that I sure did a revival. What do? Take time to fast and spend elongated time in the place of praying in the Holy Ghost. Stir up that river. Before we began this church, I had to stir up the river. I have a feeling God was telling me to start a church, but I have no details. I don't know the name of the church. I don't know anything. Everything was blank. We just concluded KHC camp meeting in year 2015, December. And I'm looking at January 2016, and God is saying, start a church. How? Where? We've just expended all the funds, ministry funds for camp meeting. Because we fed everybody free for 4 days. We've expended everything to the last minute. And then we went to the hotel. My wife and I went to the hotel for a retreat to pray. And I was there praying, thanking God for camp meeting, successful camp meeting. And God said, you are starting a church. I said, you should have told me before so I would save for you. And then I had to spend time to pray, to plow the depths, to find out more details about what I'm hearing. And as I began to pray, the details emerged. The details emerged. The vision of the church, the mission. Why are we here? What are we doing? We didn't just gather ourselves here. We ran with a word. Hello, somebody. And you shall come to the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. That is where the name Shouts of Grace Center came from. Not because you want to shout, but because that's the word of the Lord. You shall come to the headstone there of Zechariah chapter 4. So everything and anything you want is there. As a young guy in the university, I was supposed to go for lectures, but somehow that day was lecture free. It was a Wednesday. And then I have this feeling to pray. So I rose up, went to the place where we hold fellowship, and I prayed in the Holy Ghost for 4 hours without doing what I was praying for. This was 1995. I prayed in the Holy Ghost for 4 hours. You see, when you are praying the Holy Ghost, less than the first 1 hour, you actually are not sure when to stop or when to start, or when you can just round up anytime you want. But if you go beyond 1 hour, 2 hours, in the place of plowing the depths, you will know when to stop exactly and when to, and if you are supposed to continue. You will know that you are not done. If it's just 30, 20 minutes prayer, but I'm talking of reaching the depths inside your belly, you won't be able to stop until you are done. And so after about 4 hours, I knew I was done, so I stepped. Looking back, what I was bringing out of my belly that day was my wife. I'm telling you. Because 2 weeks earlier, I asked her out, and she said she's not sure whether I'm spiritual or not. She didn't tell me that, but that was what was in her heart. That she wasn't sure whether I'm spiritual. I'm spiritual enough for her. I wasn't a pastor. I was in the technical department. Record message. Press stop. Press play. Nothing spiritual about that. I mean, so they said they were not sure whether I knew my Bible very well. And I too myself, I'm not sure then. I was a young believer. And that was the question in her heart. And God wanted to answer that question. But I needed to do a prayer. Not a common prayer. A prayer of, I need to revive something. So I prayed for 4 hours without knowing why. That is why when the Holy Ghost prompts you to pray, obey.
You don't know what you are sorting out. I pray for 4 hours. Let me tell you how it's linked together. Some of you know this already. I pray for 4 hours, and then in the evening of that day, the pastor of the fellowship could not make it. He had a test. So he told the assistant pastor, who is a lady, to take the fellowship. But the assistant pastor, in the evening, 5:30 p.m., we started fellowship. She was afraid. As praise worship was going on, he said, but today I cannot climb the pulpit. I'm scared. I said, just go there. I should be able to do this morning. He said, no, I cannot go. Please help me. I said, help you, okay? Am I a pastor? Do I look like one? I said, I can't go. Then I just remembered I prayed for 4 hours. Then something told me, that's the Holy Spirit, that could be a link, that could be why you pray. So without knowing what I would say, I've never preached before in my life. Not once. Not even for 1 minute. Without knowing what I would say, I told her, don't worry, I'll take it. And I went off stage. And I had these strange instructions. Because the moment I got off stage, the power of God filled that place. The anointing was strong. And I had instruction, lay hands. I said, I'm not a pastor. So I called Sister Ify. I said, this is what I had the Holy Spirit say, lay hands. I'm not a pastor. I can't lay hands. He said, lay it now. Don't give the Holy Spirit there. So I began to lay hands one by one. And when I lay hands, I'm not exaggerating, everybody except 3 people fell under the anointing. When I say fall under the anointing, let me explain. You know, when you fall under the anointing, you go, and then they bring you up. Eh? This one, they were there, slain. There's a difference between fall under the anointing and slain in the spirit. They were slain. 20 minutes, 30 minutes, they were just there. Including the sister that wanted to know whether I was spiritual or not. You understand how God answered that question? If I have not prayed to about lay hands of God, lay last Sunday, is he a pastor? But because of the demonstration of power, nobody could ask, is he a pastor? They don't ask, is he a pastor? He must be a pastor. So when I was true, I didn't say anything. I went back to my room. I was hungry. There was no food. The last beans I cooked, I've eaten it in the afternoon. But when you move in the spirit, you get hungry. I don't know the correlation. So I was very hungry. And I was just sensing that anointing in my hands. So I prayed. I said, Lord, I need supernatural food tonight. Wherever it's going to come from, I don't know. I need supernatural food. I got to my room. About 10 minutes, I had a knock on my door. Behold, this same sister. And this is already late in the night, like 9:30 p.m., but we live with the same hall. There's male hall, female hall. With a bowl of hot rice. I can still remember the taste of that meat. And she said, she just felt I would need this. I said, I need it. God bless you. I will return the plates tomorrow. So she left. Following day, I refused to return plates. Why should a man of God be carrying plates? Before, I was a boy of God, but now I'm a man. So I refused deliberately. So she came for her plates in the afternoon. So we talked. She said, that was awesome. I said, yeah. He said, yeah. Has he always been like that? I said, that's one of those things. It's just one of those things. He said, hey. He said, you are anointed. I said, hey. So I refused to mention the issue of relationship again. She was asking all manner of questions. I was answering. Then she said, you were saying something that time. I said, now thou knowest that I am spiritual. Rise upon your feet, praise the Lord. Amen. I said all of that to let you know that there are times God moves you to pray by the Holy Spirit. Please obey. Don't discard it. Don't ignore it. Obey the promptings of the Holy Spirit, because there are things you are taking care of. There are some times I'm praying in the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God begins to show me what I'm addressing. Every time you pray in the Holy Ghost, something is taking place in the realms of the Spirit. There will never be a time when you are praying in the Holy Ghost for fun. Out of your belly shall rise rivers. Can you open your mouth and pray in the Holy Ghost?
This is the end of the message. We believe you've been blessed. Join us at Shouts of Grace Center on Sundays and Wednesdays at KHC Event Center, Joker Plaza, Ibadan. God bless you.